Welcome to Sibylline Podcasts, part of our World Risk Register Threat Monitoring Service. These podcasts are released on a weekly basis, covering timely and relevant topics. In these discussions, we hope to shed light on evolving scenarios and provide actionable predictions and implications. We hope you enjoy listening and welcome any feedback. Hello and welcome to another Sibylline podcast. In this session, we're going to be talking about Saudi Arabia. And with me to do that, I'm joined by our Middle East and North Africa analyst, Noor Kabaita. So Noor, thank you very much for joining us. In this session, we're going to be talking about the changes that have occurred already under Vision 2030 and also the prospects for the future, notably with the most recent change, which is the lifting of the ban on female drivers. So Noor, when did that happen? What's happened? What's been the impact so far?
Okay. King Salman announced that he will be lifting the ban in September 2017. However, that only really came into effect on the 24th of June. But from the 5th of June onwards, the Saudi government had been issuing driving licenses for women who would otherwise have had an international driving license or have another one from another country. So they started off with women that already know how to drive and gave them Saudi driving licenses and are now rolling out schemes and incentives for women to join driving schools and to get, you know, the training required to get a driving license. The impact, the sort of immediate impact, has only really been felt in Riyadh and Jeddah, one of the two major cities in the country. But, you know, through the next couple of weeks, you're going to see more women, you know, signing up for driving schools and driving and more women on the road, which is, you know, a pretty positive development for the kingdom.
And what's been the reception of this lifting of the ban? Has it been welcomed, or has there been a lot of kind of unrest and angst about it? Has it exacerbated domestic tensions, or what's that?
Well, the thing about Saudi Arabia is that they're notoriously silent about internal government debates. So you don't really know about the sentiment inside the government. But I mean, there have always been a lot of tensions between conservative parts that, you know, want to keep, you know, the strict religious laws in the country and those that are pushing forward with modernization. You know, Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince, is one of the key, you know, drivers of the modernization initiative. But generally among the Saudi people, it's been fairly positive. There's been a lot of celebrations on the streets, and, you know, Prince Al-Walid bin Talal, one of the biggest investors in the country, has, you know, come forward and really applauded that, and he's very happy with it. But again, there has been conservative backlash, and there are men that are still, you know, very hesitant to let women drive. And although it's become a government-wide policy, you know, depending on each family and depending on each person, you know, women might not have the, you know, the ability to sign up for a driving school because certain, you know, men within the Saudi population are not willing to let them drive. So it's been generally positive, and I think Western kind of media and you know, Western outlets have been very positive about it. And generally in Saudi Arabia, especially among the younger population, which is the biggest proportion in the country at the moment, they are fairly happy about it in general.
Yeah. And, you know, why did the Crown Prince enact this reform? You know, why has the royal family and the government done this? You know, you mentioned that notable investors are particularly sort of flying the flag for this. Is this intrinsically linked to the economy and investment, or is this a sort of a new dawn of Saudi enlightenment and, you know, liberalization?
I think more of the former, less of the latter. I think in general, Saudi Arabia is really trying to diversify as quick as it can. And it's doing so by, you know, trying to get nuclear energy programs, trying to kind of limit oil, even though they want to push, you know, oil capacity more globally. But at the same time, they want to make sure that they can, you know, live in a post-oil world. So I think in terms of like allowing women to drive, I think a lot of it is it's a very attractive economic prospect for the kingdom. Some valuations have estimated that by 2030, allowing women to drive will give the country about $90 billion in investment, which is huge. It's almost on par with Saudi Aramco, which is now expected for 2019. So there is a huge economic gain to be made by allowing women to drive. And doing that, it allows the kingdom to put itself as a modernizing kingdom and to allow people to invest more and to make it more attractive. But at the same time, I think it's very much a calculated move to secure more investment. And I think one of the biggest evidence of that is that the kingdom continues to crack down on women's rights activists and arresting famous human rights activists and, you know, keeping them indefinitely detained with no information and with claims that, you know, torture has been a case in Saudi prisons and things like that. So I think whilst this is a very positive development in terms of the economy of it, I don't see it as a new dawn for Saudi positivity and happiness. I think it's very much clouded in a very solid economic plan that the government wants to push through.
Yeah, and so in terms of the sort of more granular level, I guess that economic uplift is driven by allowing more women to work. So how many women work already in Saudi Arabia? Is that a common?
It's less common than comparative to the region. In general, it's about a rough estimate would be 1 in 5 women work, which is quite low in comparison to the region, even though women technically are allowed to take up employment. But because they are unable to drive, it's very difficult for the woman to get to her job. And although for most, a lot of families, having a driver is, kind of subverts that problem. But in general, people that can't afford drivers, they're kind of stuck at home.
Yeah.
So it would allow women to get a better chance of getting employment, because at the moment it is fairly low, despite it being fairly okay for women to, take up employment. But at the same time, it's the access to it that was a bit difficult.
So are we looking at this lifting of the ban enabling a wholesale uptake of employment by Saudi women, and how is that likely to affect the economy and the operating environment for Westerners and expats?
I think there's a few developments that we're going to see because of this lifting of the driving ban. I think job growth is a very likely outcome. I think that's already starting. I think a boost in the country's kind of employment prospects is a good thing for the people. I think the government will be more empowered to push for a more Saudified workforce. They will probably want to increase the number of Saudis working in Saudi companies. I mean, only out of the 12 million or so paid jobs in Saudi Arabia, only about 5 are Saudi, according to these rough estimates. But and the rest are migrant or expat workers. And I think the government will try and change that a little bit to empower Saudis to take up further employment, because they're lifting barriers to employment, which would be getting to work. That's a barrier that's been lifted now, so there's not really much, it'll enable them to do that. And it's a good thing for Western businesses, insofar as if the government pushes forward with more kind of strict policies on Saudi quotas in the country, having women as an additional workforce does allow a Western company to be able to fulfill those quotas much easier than they would otherwise. And I think it's a positive thing in general for businesses operating. Now, at the same time, the policy environment in Saudi Arabia is very volatile, and I think it's going to stay that way for the foreseeable future. It's subject to a lot of change, a lot of disagreements, a lot of random dismissals and policy reversals. So again, it's a really good thing, but at the same time, it's worth remembering that it's a very volatile policy environment, and that generally it doesn't take much debate for something to be completely reversed.
Yeah, you mentioned dismissals there, and previously arrests of women rights activists and so on and so forth. Are there any examples of that you can think of recently where, to sort of demonstrate the operating environment and the risks involved?
Yeah, well, recently, actually, just a couple of weeks ago, there was a Russian circus that was performing in Riyadh, in the capital. And there was a video that was posted on social media that was a showing Russian dancers that were dressed in allegedly inappropriate clothing. And that kind of went, circulated everywhere. It went viral. And people started to really kind of protest this and demand some form of retaliation for this, because it was deemed, incompatible with Saudi society, and it was inappropriate, and it was, not in line with their values. And so the government had to do something about it. So they sacked the entertainment chief of the country. And I mean, they're pushing forward for a replacement right now, but it kind of does demonstrate that sometimes these, this backlash about modernization can trickle back up to the government and pressure the government to do something about it. And I think that's going to be a bigger trend for the country, in sort of the medium to long term, is this conservative kind of anxiety over the trajectory of where the country's going, which will pressure Bin Salman to kind of limit his reforms and not go too far.
Yeah, I think it really demonstrates the requirement for accountability as well.
Exactly.
If something is perceived as being, not okay, then someone needs to take responsibility and accountability for it. So in terms of the operating environment for businesses, do you think that businesses could be penalized in the same way as for being deemed accountable for certain transgressions, and I guess thereby does the growth of opportunities in the investment market and the business business opportunities in the country, does that therefore come with added risk of, effectively policy risk, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think if in a hypothetical situation, if this Russian circus was staged at a hotel, I think the hotel would also have significant penalties being put on it. I mean, the Saudi authorities are generally indiscriminate in how they penalize and how they kind of crack down on stuff that is deemed inappropriate. I think that's always been a core part of the kingdom's policies, and it's kind of what's allowed them to enjoy such a longevity in that respect. So I think although it's a good thing in terms of foreign investment, and it's definitely a boost, at the same time, there is an added policy risk that it is always going to be there sort of in the back burner. And I think that is a bigger risk for companies that are seemingly a bit too optimistic about these developments. You know, it's worth remembering that if you annoy any member of the Saudi authorities or the government or someone that happens to be of a higher level, that's a very big problem for you. And that could, you know, really complicate doing business there. I mean, I don't think it'll get to the point where they, you know, kick businesses out, but they might just make it very, very difficult to kind of get permits and things like that. And, you know, and that's only really going to get worse as they kind of try to tighten their workforce and make it more Saudi oriented.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of the future then for a Vision 2030 going forwards, you know, we've seen this apparent liberal change of Saudi women now being able to drive and the fundamental driver, if you'll forgive me, forgive the pun for that being for economic benefit. So going forwards over the next sort of year, 2 years, well, decade, I guess, before, well, 12 years before 2030. Do you think that we'll see more of these kind of measures? You know, how do you see the environment changing over the next few years?
I think similar policy moves are more likely than something that is completely expansive and like a whole opening of Saudi Arabia into now being the next, I don't know, Dubai. I don't think that's really something that we can see in the next kind of foreseeable future. But I do think that the government will move to relax some of their policies towards, especially towards, you know, women, just because they have generally been tighter towards them, which in a way is a very good thing for the women's rights movement within the kingdom. But at the same time, these arrests of the activists is very worrying. It's a very worrying development as to what the future might look like, in that they want to toe this improving women's lives line, but if you're not agreeing with government policy, that's a problem. And it's worth noting that some of these women that have been arrested were key campaigners for the lifting of the ban. So, you know, they're very well known and they're very active and they're energized. And I think they want to try and crack down on that. And they have done, because these women are still detained and no one really knows when they're going to leave. Having said that, I think the kingdom still has a long way to go in terms of improving, you know, women's rights and having a very equal workforce. I mean, the male guardianship system is still very much in place. I mean, there's talks of relaxing it in the next kind of year or two, but I think that's a very difficult policy for Bin Salman to win. I think the male guardianship system has become a very core policy for conservatives, and I think he'll have to really, it'll be a very difficult debate for him to win, even if he enjoys quite a lot of domestic support. So, you know, you still have these policies in place, which seemingly don't really look like they're going to change anytime soon. So I think it's a very rocky move for the kingdom, and I think they'll try to be as attractive as they can for Western businesses, but, you know, they have to deal with the domestic implications of that.
Yeah, brilliant. Noor, thank you very much. So perhaps in summary, I might just say growing opportunities for business in Saudi Arabia, a gradually changing operating environment, but still the same old risks, and, one should not be sort of fooled by the apparent relaxation of laws, as fundamentally all that is potentially, you know, longer rope to hang oneself with, as the old adage goes. Noor, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And thank you for your insight. Thank you for listening, and we hope you have found this podcast useful. If you would like to learn more about our services, or if you have any questions or feedback, please get in touch at info@sibylline.co.uk.